And let me pin her to the second screen so we can get her and bring Amanda right up. So, Amanda, how are you tonight?
How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just telling people it's like Christmas every day on some portion, but boy, did we still have a spiritual war. And now it seems like the spiritual war, and the main theme I was going to try to get your thoughts on is the MAGA divide. I think that's what Satan's wanting to do. It's like, okay, I'm going to send all these demons in and try to divide the MAGA movement because it's wiping me out right now. So that's what I think he's thinking anyway. But anyway, any thoughts on that?
Well, I think part of the reason MAGA is having the problem it's having is because it wasn't really fully rooted in the Lord.
Good point.
It's easier for Satan to divide something and to attack it when it's got very compromised areas, because that's the area he's going to go for, right? He's going to go for the weakest cornerstone, for the weakest part of the foundation. That's how he strategically attacks. And look who he's using. Look who are being utilized, you know, like Absalom, you know, and I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I don't like the way the kingdom's going. I'm just going to take matters into my own hands and I'm going to overthrow who the Lord chose. That's the attitude we're watching unfold.
Yeah. And I love it. I was always talking over the last 3 or 4 months about they call it the woke right. I was calling it just the spirit of Haman, right? But if you go back further than that, you're talking about call it the spirit of Amalek, right? And so
it's spirit of Amalek. I don't know if I have it. Let's see if I have it here in all of my props.
Okay.
No, that's not it. Hold on, maybe I can make it real fast for you guys. But basically, Zoran Mamdani, hidden within his name, is the name Haman. So hidden within his name, literally, I'm trying to see here if I have anything I can show you here. Do I have my Sharpie? Yeah, I do. I have my Sharpie. So
you're gonna recreate your prop live on the Blessed Teach Show.
There is the spirit of Haman arising. I'll show you. I mean, I can prove it in multiple ways. But Zoran Mamdani does have, here we go, I'm circling it, Haman in his name. Haman. So the man literally has it in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sign of the times that we're in. So I would look for a decree of destruction to go out from certain areas, including out of New York City, but also from certain parties.
Right. Right. It's kind of funny. So I'm still getting some comments on YouTube. This is the first one real early. We finally got a YouTube channel back that had over 109,000 subscribers 5 years ago. Amanda, I got it back after literally the day, 5 years later, they gave me the channel back. So, wow. and they said it was because of, they were forced by the Biden administration to actually censor everybody for COVID and other things, right? Well, they took my channel away the month before the election, so that's a lie, right? So they just got slapped, and they started, okay, now they're just going to shadow ban us all. But welcome to you guys on YouTube. Thank you for being here to see Amanda and talk about this. But yeah, that is a good point. I'm going to go back to your first point about not being fully rooted in the Lord.
Yes.
Right. And so then that a lot of that comes down to people that are in the right left paradigm and they're not really focused on the Lord, and but they're conservatives and that seems to be the area that the people that are being wooed by the Candace Owens and the Tucker Carlsons and the others, the Nick Fuentes.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that not being rooted?
Well, the Lord said to me that resisting without submitting is nothing more than rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, because it says in the book of James, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you, in that order, right? So if you resist without submitting, it's nothing more than rebellion. And that's what we're watching go on with this. There is resisting without submitting. And it's following the timeline of Absalom, and it's following the timeline of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Because King Saul lost his mind He became obsessed with David. He became obsessed with conspiracies about David. He became obsessed with destroying David. And he lost his mind more and more as he pursued David. And what happens then? He goes to the Witch of Endor, who calls up the dead. Now, some of these podcasts are claiming dead people are coming to them in their dreams, right? Goes to the Witch of Endor, calls up the dead, right? The dead Samuel. And after that, Saul fell on his own sword. And we're watching a very similar timeline take place where there's an obsession with David. There's an obsession with taking down David. There is an obsession with holding on to a seat of power. There's an obsession with hijacking the kingdom, because that's what Saul was obsessed with. Absalom was obsessed with very similar things. Absalom saw David as invasive and holding a seat that he wanted. And Absalom decided he was going to try to destroy David, and he was going to stage a coup and grow a conspiracy strong and take the kingdom.
Right.
We're watching those two things play out.
Amen. 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 And Amanda, I think your volume may be low. I've got it pretty high. I got it maxed on my end. I don't know if your tech team can
Hold
just
on, let me
bump
see.
Your volume up a little bit. I know.
Let me see here.
Just as a quick test, Gus, are you there, Gus? Just
volume.
Or
is that better? Does
or
that sound
Charlotte?
better?
I think that's a little better.
Is that better?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm turning the mic up. Okay. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Because that's a great point. And I loved you also when it came to Candace Owens, you were talking about that she was at risk. She's talking about her aunt actually doing voodoo on people that were against her. She talked
she's
and
aunt.
she
She
said she
posted it. Yep.
Yeah. And you were paralleling that to the Saul story. Do you
and
mind
the Witch
kind
of
of
Endor.
Recapping that a little bit?
Well, what did the Lord say to, well, the Lord through Samuel, he says to Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So once you've stepped in rebellion, it's very easy to then enter witchcraft, right? So first there was rebellion, right? And then all of a sudden she starts sharing these posts about someone's aunt doing voodoo and cursing people too that didn't side with Palestine or however she was wording it. She was mad at those that were okay with what was going on in that area in Israel, and she was cursing them. And that's what happens when you go into rebellion. It becomes as the sin of witchcraft, because once you're in rebellion, you start out of your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you get drawn into those darker things. That's what happens. And that's what Saul was. He was drawn into those darker things. Once he stepped into that, it was very easy for him to go to the Witch of Endor, because he lost all spiritual compass for where he was, who he was supposed to be submitted to, and what he was doing. And he was in a spiral. He was in a spiritual spiral. Now, I will tell you, well over a year ago, it was back last September or August, a dream about Candace Owens.
Wow.
The Lord gave me a dream. And in that dream, she started off normal, and I watched her self-destruct with her speech.
Whoa.
In that dream, I actually have a short out that I put out. So I saw that about Candace. And then in the other dream, I saw the demon that attacked Tucker Carlson, which is a testament to Saul too, because what happened to Saul? A distressing spirit comes on him when he rebels. When he veers from the Lord, when he doesn't do what the Lord's asking him to do, a distressing spirit comes on him that makes him go crazy. Well, we watched a distressing spirit come on Tucker Carlson. I actually saw the spirit that went after him in the dream at the time it was happening to him, and he didn't reveal it till a year later that it had happened. And now you're watching a distressing spirit come on others, like Candace, and you can see it on them. And I'm not saying they don't have some valid points. The problem is, if you're doing it in rebellion, it ends in disaster. If you're doing it in rebellion, it ends in disaster. And, you know, that spirit, that's Saul and Absalom, they wanted justice their own way. I'm going to get justice for the country my own way. I'm the one that's going to champion the justice here. I'm the one that's going to tell you who's invasive, and it's David. I'm the one who's going to dictate the narrative. I'm the one that's going to control the narrative in the land. That's Saul and Absalom. It's both of them working through different counterparts, but it was the same spirit because they both went after David.
Mm-hmm.
And both David and Saul have something in common with this. They wouldn't deal with the enemy when the Lord told them to deal with it. For Saul, it was Amalek, and Haman came from the line of Amalek because Saul did not do what the Lord asked him to do. For Absalom, David refused to deal with Absalom. He refused to totally restrain Absalom, deal with him, and bring him to justice for what he was doing in the land. And that opened the door for him to begin this conspiracy and to woo the people at the gate with this conspiracy. This is what he did. Through creating conspiracy, he wooed the people at the gate and stole their hearts.
Right.
And that's the thing. Absalom and Saul look like they're on top for a moment. They look like they're number one. It's all a setup for their fall. That's the thing. It's all a setup for their fall. That's why you have to pray for these people. You really have to pray for them. Because if you were going towards a cliff, you'd want someone praying for you too. And this is why we have to intercede and pray, because it's all a setup for a spectacular fall on both occasions. We saw this happen.
Yes, yes, yes. It's so fun to have you on because it's so active with on chat here. You can't read your chat on your show.
I announced I was coming on. I just came off a live on Ark of Grace.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, you brought your whole crowd over. So it's fun to see even on YouTube's active as well. That's beautiful. And people are saying, yeah, so it's back. It's a 5-year-old channel. So about half the people's handles aren't even working anymore, but it's kind of exciting. And, but boy, I can't, that's a wild that you actually saw the demon. Can you describe that a little bit? Because he talks about it. He actually got physical scratches, right? That's pretty wild.
Yes. So it was green and serpent-like. It wrapped around the whole trunk of his body up towards his neck. It had long, straggly hair. It had scales on its body. It had the top body of a human, the bottom of a serpent.
Woo.
Or a fish. And it had long, bony arms and hands with enormous talons coming out of it. It had claws. And it was wrapped around the whole trunk of his body going up to his neck.
Wow, because he said he couldn't breathe.
Yep, and I saw that. I saw the constriction happen. It was a constricting, seducing spirit. That's exactly what it was. Because seducing spirits lull you into coming out of agreement with the Lord. And into agreement with them. And that's what this was. This was a seducing spirit. And I saw where it happened. It was at an event.
Mm-hmm.
He came in the door and then he went secretly and met with these men in a corner. I watched him have this secret meeting in the corner with these men. And then Greta Van Susteren walks in the room. I still don't know why she walked in, but she did in the dream. But when Tucker lifted his shirt to stretch, that's when I saw the demon. His shirt went up and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is wrapped around him. And
wow.
So I hooded out to pray for him immediately. I waited literally, I sat on it for 2 weeks and I prayed. Then I put it out and he got fired from Fox News 5 days after.
Wow.
I put out about this dream. And then that February, I released the entirety of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 8 months later or so that he announces publicly that he was attacked by a demon. And he was literally attacked around the time I had the dream.
Yeah. Wow. That is pretty crazy. And was it a vision or was it actually a real meeting when he was meeting in the back room? You're talking about Tucker.
Oh, I was seeing it in the dream. I was watching him go into the back of the auditorium behind the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And go meet in a corner with these men, and they were whispering.
So yeah, because there's a lot of rumors about him being funded by Qatar and others, or that his fund, a ton of money came in, and it's through a bunch of, you know, the whole thing where they have shell companies and all this type of stuff. But some people feel that goes back to Qatar, which is obviously funds Muslim Brotherhood, and that kind of mirrors what he's been reporting on lately.
Well, what they're not saying is as important as what they are saying. And what they're not talking about is the Christians in Nigeria being butchered.
Yeah.
What they're not talking about is the Christians in Syria being butchered and persecuted. The Christians in the Congo being butchered by Islamists. If you notice, they're not saying any of it. They're not talking about any of it. They're talking about genocide in Palestine. Now, I'm going to say this, you know, when it comes to the Palestinians, normally an army does not warn them to get out of the area because they're going to bomb if it's a genocide. Normally, you don't get a warning to leave the area. Normally, that doesn't happen. But they're hyper-focused on this while all of this is going on, and they're literally trying to make you not see that. You know what I'm saying? It's like a cat with a laser pointer. You know when you have a laser pointer and you direct a cat in the direction of the laser pointer, and the cat chases the laser pointer, and the cat's obsessed with the laser pointer. It doesn't matter whatever else is around because the cat can't see it. That's what they're trying to do to the public.
Yes. And the did just to let you guys know, I was going to show you this, is that I have put a bunch of blogs up. One is Candace Owens, Voodoo Visions and Biblical Warnings, where I discuss my thoughts on all this, and I talk a little bit about Amanda's linking to all that. I also, so this is all on faithandfreedom.org, right? The new network. And I also did the real Israel derangement syndrome. So Tucker's using Israel derangement syndrome to reverse what it means. And he's saying that means people that support Israel without, at all cost. And so that is just the incorrect way. He has Israel derangement syndrome because that's why he's bringing on people like Nick Fuentes, who just hates everybody in Israel.
Absalom.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I just want to point you guys to that. And what's interesting, he actually said right here, I just want to show you this and get your thoughts on this, Amanda. He says, I hate him passionately. He's talking about Trump, right? We are very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I can't wait. This is in 2021, okay? And then somebody, this person hasn't been revealed who said this, is I want nothing more. It does feel very close. I imagine things will get nice starting around mid-February. I would imagine, I want to go back and look at when he got let go, but this is way back in 2021. But then he says, I hate him passionately. Talk about Trump. I blew up at Peter Navarro today in frustration. I actually like Peter, but I can't handle much more of this. So this is, this is posted by Laura Loomer, just showing that at least at 2021, he hated Trump, right? And now he's got this demon in him, and it's like he's effectively separating. And what he did with Nick Fuentes is, I want to give your thoughts before I talk about my thoughts.
I'll tell you something interesting. This is why I'm cautious about the America First agenda, right? Now, yes, God, when it came to the Lord in Israel, the Lord wanted Israel to take care of their own first in the Old Testament. You know, the Lord wanted Israel to protect itself and do that. But if you look at throughout history, you had countries that took part in the same thing, like Germany First. Mm-hmm. And what happens is when that's not controlled, it opens a door to extremes. You see, when it did with Israel, too. If you look at it, when Israel became that way, they got lured into Baal worship, Molech worship, all sorts of things, because they didn't balance it out enough with the Lord and with what the Word of God says, how we should operate a nation, how we should treat people, what we should do, where the Lord's place should be. And so Germany went into this, too. And what happens is it paves a road to hyper extremism that then can open a door for very dangerous things to happen. I'm not saying don't take care of our own in America. I'm not saying that. But the leader of America has to be open to the leading of the Lord, too, if the Lord wants him to help or her to help another nation or her to or him to get involved in something. And so Germany tried this. Russia tried this with Stalin. Mm-hmm. Lots of countries tried this position. In every case, it led to hyper extremism. in every case. So you can have America first as long as it's balanced with other things. I think it should be God first, America second
Yeah.
in our country. You
Amen.
know, that's how I think it really should be aligned. Same thing for other nations, God first and then that nation. That's how I think it should be written out, because they're playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette here, and this is why you see the extremism now coming in, because there's a spirit attached to that agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very interesting. I want to make sure everybody, I'm sure most of you already know this, but I want to make sure that you guys go check out a beautiful website. I was just thinking about your website, 5 years ago versus this. It's just beautiful. And so you can find it at arkofgrace.org. That's ARK of grace.org. And there's a lot here. I just love this. I mean, you've got to, I want to also make sure you understand that there is a new book coming out by Amanda.
Yes.
Yes, Brace for Impact. You can pre-order it now. So right on that page, you can get it. Is there a way
Up
so
by here,
that people
Chris.
eventually get a signed copy, or they need to follow, get you in a book signing?
You all right, Chris? You want to come in? It's Rick. You all
Is
right?
that
Is
Chris?
something
All
going on?
right.
Oh, no, I saw you
Hey,
somewhere
Chris.
else. Hey, Rick. How are you?
We love you and miss you, buddy.
Oh, me too. I saw your some shorts that you did, and really good.
Just your shorts, Rick.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike, those are
Good
Reels,
job,
clips,
Amen.
shorts.
Which means
Yeah.
I listen to them too, because he's got them on. So I'm hearing
Yeah.
them too.
Yeah, that's been a blessing. So we have a lot of people doing great works. In fact, the Faith and Freedom TV show, like a Don A show, we do clips for them as well. And we're doing clips for a lot
Yes.
of other people too. So it's kind of fun to highlight all these awesome patriots coming on the channel. So which
Yes.
it's quite fun. Don A's got her
Yeah.
Code Breakers on there now. So
Oh, she does? That's nice.
yes,
yeah.
I saw Hugh with her and Sean also in the
Yeah, that
both
was
of them.
fun.
Yeah, he watched you
Yes.
guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice
Yeah.
to see all of you. Bless you.
Everybody's saying
Good to
hi
see you
from
too, Chris.
everybody's saying hi to Chris from the
To
Zoom as
see you too,
well.
Chris.
Yeah. That's one of the beautiful things about the family that we built here, and we just love it. And it kind of and what's special about this, Amanda, is if you just look at the Reawaken Tour and some of the freedom events and faith events that are going on, it's really got there's a remnant that's really built. And so can you talk to us a little bit about that, about what the Reawaken Tour and all these other events that you're going to have created?
I think it's created to a way for people to come together that see what's going on, and they don't know necessarily how to make sense of it all the time, but they know there are, you know, greater powers at work, and they see it and they feel it. And so it allows them to come to Reawaken America or to Clay's business conferences, learn the word. They do learn the word, and then they get equipped with all sorts of other information as well. And we are, you know, being called into that 4 years ago was incredible. It was about 4.5 years ago, Clay called me and said, "Will you do this?" You know? And I prayed about it, and I said, "Yes, we'll do it." And we got involved right away. So we have been involved the whole time, and it's been amazing to watch. I mean, Clay, God bless Clay. Clay has gotten slammed. He has gotten pillaged. I mean, Clay does not make money off of these events by any stretch of the imagination, because he lets people name their price. So basically, he's not in it to make a profit, that's for
That's for
sure, because
sure,
you don't
yeah.
have people name their price if you're in it to make a profit for something. And he's really dedicated his heart to it, and to doing it for the Lord. And it's been just amazing to watch him grow in his faith, because I've watched Clay grow in leaps and bounds in his faith through this journey, which has been amazing to watch also. But it is, you know, it really started something in the nation, in waking up the nation. It really did. And praise God, we're continuing it.
Yeah,
So in
yeah. And so,
June, yep,
it's
we
going
have
to
an
be
event coming
fun.
up in June.
Yeah. So, and that this is Clay is talking about that. One thing I'll tell you is, guys, and I went to the one day, the first day of the business conference, his last business conference here, and these are secular people, a lot of them, right? That come there, and
Yes.
his messaging is on fire for the Lord. He does
Yes, it
not
is.
hold back, and so
No, he
even though he's
doesn't.
in his business conference giving them very good information, he is preaching the gospel over and over
He
again.
is.
So.
And he'll tell you, and he tells this story a lot, and it's funny how he tells it, but he said, Amanda Grace is the first person to call me out publicly and tell me I needed to read the Bible every day. And that's a true story. He put point blank when not long after he met me, he had me on the podcast, and he goes, how often should we read the Bible? And I said, every day. And he, I saw his face change when he said,
It
every
goes.
day. I said, every day, Clay, at multiple chapters, every day. Well, from that day forward, he started doing that. And he tells people it absolutely changed his life.
Yeah.
So praise God for that. He goes, and he goes, Amanda had the boldness to call me out
Yeah.
right there. And he'll tell you he needed to be called out. And so, he does. He's in the Word every day.
And
Praise God. So,
I think this is a wonderful thing to see. And so guys, I'm going to ask you what Amanda has said on many times is that we need to be praying for Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, right?
yes,
Two
we
very
need to pray
influential
for
people.
them.
And
There's a
you said
battle for
something,
them.
yeah. And coming back to this, is you said something about Candace. She became the number one podcast in the world for what she's doing right now, right?
How did
And you
Absalom
said,
at some point?
yeah. You said they're in the limelight, but that's not a really good place to be when it comes to the Lord,
No,
right?
because they step into pride because they're already out from under the covering.
Yeah.
And so then they step into pride, and pride cometh before destruction. So destruction can't happen without pride being present first.
Right.
Pride cometh before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a big fall. So what happens is when Absalom raises to the pinnacle, he steps into pride. And now he wants to go to war. And what did she say? She said, I want war with all of you. That's Absalom. That's Saul. That's what's talking. And then the fall comes from that. So getting too prideful, thinking they're on top, thinking they got it all locked up in a bow, thinking they have the kingdom, thinking this, they have control of the narrative, and all of a sudden it unravels. They, and you know how it unraveled for Absalom? It
Wasn't good.
unraveled for him because Ahithophel, who was David's top counselor, defected to Absalom, right? So now Ahithophel turns on David, defects. Now he's advising Absalom. So David sends Hushai back, his other counselor, to pretend to defect to Absalom. So Hushai returns, so it says, I'll serve you the way I served your father. I serve whoever is king, and you're king now, right? And Ahithophel gives Absalom advice, which was actually good advice. Hushai purposely gives not good advice, but the Lord was determined to thwart Ahithophel's good advice, so he actually changed Absalom's perception and compelled him to take the advice of Hushai to draw him into battle in a certain way that would cause him to fall because God had determined to judge Absalom. And so normally when Absalom is on top, Ahushai comes along. And Ahushai gives them the advice to tickle their ears, what they want to hear, but it's going to end up destroying them, and draws them into a battle that then is their downfall. That's what happens.
Yeah, and that is then that's back to Amalek, right?
Goes back to Amalek. Yeah, it goes back to Saul's disobedience with Amalek. I mean, that's what started the rebellion. That's what started not only Haman coming up the line of Amalek because it was not destroyed then, but Saul's rebellion began with that. And it just continued to unravel from there. And he lost his mind after that. And he became obsessed with David, and David was the problem. David's the one we have to get rid of. David's the one I have to expose. David's the issue in the kingdom. And the issue wasn't David. The issue was Saul's rebellion.
Right.
But he didn't want to face his own rebellion because he wanted to hold on to power so bad. David had the anointing without the position. Saul had the position without the anointing. And
Good
that's what was
point.
going on. And we're watching very similar. Some people may have the position right now, they don't have the anointing. And without that, they'll fall. Absalom may have had the position for a moment. He wasn't anointed for that. Without the anointing, you can't hold the seat. You can only hold it for a short period of time.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know if you, this is kind of a surprise topic here, but last night 107 came on and just talked about Tina Peters, who, as you know, people understand who she is, a hero, a Gold Star mom, and now in jail in Colorado, and that she has a health problem. So we've been praying for her the last 24 hours. But do you have any insight or thoughts on Tina Peters or any of these other political criminals, political prisoners, I mean?
You know, in war, there's casualty. And I think some of these people are casualty of this war. And, you know, I hope President Trump, and I pray President Trump intervenes in that situation. Because watching what's unfolding in the nation, right? If David doesn't deal with Absalom right now, Absalom's going to rise up and deal with him. And that's for the White House. If David doesn't deal with Absalom, Absalom's going to rise up and deal with him. So David needs to start dealing with these little cells of Absalom and what's happening. And you know, Tina Peters is, you know, a victim of some of that
Yeah,
and
no
what's
question about
happening.
it. So I want to, another reminder as you're putting your prayer list together, we've got Tucker and Candace. Pray for who have become enemies of Israel and enemies of Trump, right? And then also Tina Peters, right, for her health and being able to get released very quickly, and but
You
that's
know,
something.
there's great delusion coming on part of MAGA because it's not foundationally in the Lord. They throw the name of God around and sprinkle it, but foundationally it's not. And when it's not foundationally, you become a Saul. You become an Absalom. You're in the kingdom connected to the one who is anointed and by God and leading, but you yourself are not right. And by you not being right, you're wrong before the Lord, and it opens up the door for the devourer to come in and bring great delusion. You know? Now, do I agree with everything the Israeli government does? No, I don't agree with everything our own government does. There's a whole world filled of corrupt governments. If you'd like to go visit them, go to the United Nations in New York City. They're all there. All of them. They're all there gathered in one place for you to see all their corruptness in one place. But there's a difference between disagreeing with what the government of Israel may do and wanting to see their people dead. See what I'm saying? I disagree vehemently with the government of Iran, right? But for the most part, most Iranian people are lovely people. I've met them. I mean, they are very lovely people. You have to separate it. They're not separating it. They're jumbling everybody into a cauldron and turning up the heat. You know, you can disagree with governments all day long. Look what our own government has done. Look at the atrocities. So they're not separating it. They are making the people one with the government instead of looking them at two separate entities. See what I'm
Yes.
saying?
Yeah, and that is I was just pointing back to the blog on faithandfreedom.org. I have a dog that a blog that kind of talks about biblical Israel, replacement theology or fulfilling prophecy in the modern state, showing that these people believe in replacement theology, that basically if you're a Christian, Israel promises by God, which talks specifically about the land of Israel as well as the people of Israel. Race, it's talking about race there. And so this replacement philosophy is just wrong, right? This kind of goes in with the Khazarian Jew theory, and I have a whole blog on that as well. Any thoughts on the replacement theology?
God makes a covenant, he keeps it. He
Yes.
doesn't replace it. In fact, Jesus himself said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He didn't come to abolish it. He didn't come to replace it. He came to fulfill it. And the covenant that was made when God in his deity, right, brought himself down literally to Abraham's level to make a covenant the way they would in the Middle East at that time, so Abraham would understand the series. That's why God went through this whole thing of separate this animal, and I'm going to pass through it. That's how they made covenants back then. So the Lord, in all of his awesomeness, right, came down to the level Abraham could understand to make this covenant. I will make you the father, right? I will make you the father of this nation. And he births Israel out of Abraham, out of Isaac, right? Ishmael gate happens. That's why we still have, we have Islam, because of Ishmael. Because Abraham decided to write his own Jerry Springer storyline and go in, and that's what he decided to do, you know, wrote his own Jerry Springer storyline. And he decides that he's going to go and you know, do things with his with one of his servants. And he has Ishmael, and Ishmael is illegitimate. He's not promised. He's outside the confines of what God defined should be. And so then he has Isaac, you know, it's birthed through Isaac. But that covenant stands forever. That covenant is not interchangeable. We were grafted in when Christ died to an existing covenant, which actually then created a new covenant, right? That we're grafted into. So basically, now we have a more excellent covenant, scripture says, right? Because it was credited to Abraham righteousness. And then when Jesus Christ died, that credit was paid. So Abraham got that credited to him way ahead of time. And for us to be grafted in, for a branch of a tree to be grafted into another tree, it literally has to be cut. Both sides have to be cut. There has to be some kind of severing and cutting. And then they attached while they're cut and wounded and taped together and bound and left like that to grow into each other, until you can't see where one stops and the other begins. And that's what the covenant is. We are grafted into that already existing covenant, which created a more excellent covenant when Christ died. So we didn't replace anybody. We got adopted. You know, when you adopt a child, your adopted child does not legally replace your biological child. Right? So this is the case with us. We were adopted into the family. So we have the same legal rights as the biological child, right? But we don't replace the biological child. That's what they're not getting.
Yes, and I just tell people, read Romans 9 about all Israel be saved. Make sure you understand Ezekiel 36 through 39. It's so extremely clear. He's talking about the land of Israel, and he's talking about the people of Israel. And it's a promise that's separate from salvation. Salvation is a beautiful thing. But again, both of those things can be true. God's a big God. He can handle both his promises to Israel and his promises of salvation to us, right?
And if God doesn't, apparently they've never read the War of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 38. Because God single-handedly comes and saves Israel. And if he didn't want Israel to exist, nor did the land of Israel exist, that would never be. And it's written right there in Ezekiel 38. What happens? All these nations come against Israel. And you know what the United States is going to do? Put out a strongly worded statement against it. That's what's going to happen. Where all we're going to do is put out a strongly worded statement against it. We're not going to get involved. And it's by God's design we don't get involved, because he wants all the glory, and he wants to rescue his children himself. That's God the Father. You have God the King and God the Father. When God the Father gets involved, it's, you're taking my child and I want my child back. And that's God the Father coming then at you. And this is God the Father coming at them. And he allows them to all be drawn in, just so he can single-handedly save Israel. before the world, that the whole world will know that he is God at that point, and that he is a protector of Israel. And they have not, you know, apparently because they want to, you know, something interesting in Germany, one of the first things Hitler did when he came to power is he tried to nullify the Old Testament. He tried to get rid of the Old Testament and say it didn't exist and it wasn't valid anymore. And you hear that same rhetoric appearing in the Conservative Party and in the nation. Old Testament isn't valid.
That's a good point.
Really? Because the New Testament is built upon the Old Testament. The foundation of the Old Testament has to exist in order for the New Testament to exist. And for you to understand the New Testament, you have to understand the events of the Old Testament that led up to why the events of the New Testament happened.
It's the fulfillment of the Old Testament, correct?
Yes. It's the fulfillment, yes, of the Old Testament and of the things to come, like the War of Ezek. There are things in the Old Testament that haven't been fulfilled yet.
Amen.
So you can't close out on a whole, you know, on a whole group of books where you've got Daniel, you've got Ezekiel, you got Zechariah. All of these are future events.
Yes, and I just wanted to mention, and I'm not sure this date still stands, but I was in Israel with Amanda and Chris and Gus. It was just a beautiful time, and before the war. But right now, is the May 20th still kind of on hold, or is it going to potentially happen?
We're trying to do it. Yes, we are. We are definitely, we're trying to do it. If the Lord has other plans, the Lord has other plans.
Right. But, so I just want to make sure everybody can find that on the events page. So there's a, you can see the Brace for Impact here, but there's
we have
also
lots of stuff on our events page. We're also moving.
Yeah, that's a big event.
We're moving. The whole ark is moving. This is not for the faint of heart, but the early next year, we will be moving the entire ark to a new piece of property that we will be able to expand on, take in more animals, and have people visit and have events right there.
Yes.
For the sanctuary.
And I will, and so, again, just make sure you're visiting arcofgrace.org. Make sure you go to org. That's a media event. They have a lot of other stuff. They have a place that you can put prayer requests in here as well.
We have a prayer line, too, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. We have people that will pray and agree with you.
Yeah, so you need prayer.
Pray for you.
Want two or three to come together in the name for him to be with you.
There's the prayer
there's
lines,
the numbers right there, right? So make sure you understand that. They've got the media area. They've even got, for those of you who want Amanda to come on your show or go come to your church or whatever, there's a way to request that. I think there's a blog out there. So a lot here. Just make sure you're connecting there, right? Oh yeah. By the way, my brother and I are partners on from the QE Strong, and on Amanda posted today on her pages an interview with Brian,
did.
Dr. Brian Artis, who did a beautiful job talking about prayer and positive
did.
Thinking as well as frequencies. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check that out on Amanda's. So she's got all kinds of ministry partners here as well. This is the QE Strong one, has a red light, but it also has the patches. But go make sure that you are just supporting Amanda at arcofgrace.org. It's beautiful and so fun to have you and get to know you and Chris so well. And thanks for treating Gus so well.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so it's been a beautiful time. Wanted to just kind of see if you wanted to go anywhere else. Like I know people would be frustrated if I didn't ask. What are some things that the Lord's told you lately that we can expect? Everybody's asking about when's all the rest going to happen? When's all? Obviously, it's all dependent though on Trump as one person and his heart, and if he's listening to the Lord and the whole Trump administration is listening to the Lord. But what's your thoughts on what's coming?
Well, I'll show you something interesting the Lord has been showing me, and I'll hold these up for you so you can see. So, basically, through events, times, and circumstances, the enemy orchestrates a well-covered, layered labyrinth of noise. And hidden within that are his agendas for the next part of the plan that he wants to execute, because he's got to unlock certain spiritual doors. He aligns certain events and times, because the word of God says he tries to alter times and seasons, and he tries to align these things in order to unlock doors, right? So we as the body of Christ have to get wise to this, because it's going to help us discern with what's coming. So I'm going to show you a few examples here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The death of Charlie Kirk is connected to the two assassination attempts of President Trump. It's connected because the enemy was hiding what he wanted to do within those attempts, because there has to be, attempts on lives and innocent blood attempting to be shed and altars powered and all sorts of these other things for the kingdom of darkness to operate. So I'm going to show you what I'm talking about here. So Thomas Matthew Crooks, right? Alleged assassin, Butler, Pennsylvania. Hidden within his name is the word Orem, okay? Hidden within his name is the word Orem. Ryan Routh, the alleged assassin at Mar-a-Lago, September 2024, hidden within his name is the word Utah, right? So far you've got Orem, Utah. Butler, Pennsylvania, location of the first assassination attempt. Hidden within this, you have Tyler and UV, okay? And then the date of the Butler attempt, 7/13/2024. If you add the 2 plus 2 plus the 4 and the 1 from the 13, you get 9. And if you add the 7 from the 3, you get 10. So 9/10. If you add Butler, Pennsylvania, and Mar-a-Lago, the two locations together of both attempts, you can actually spell two words, turning point. So if you look at all of this together, the assassins, the dates, the times, and the locations of these attempts on Trump, you get Orem, Utah, Tyler, UV, 9/10, turning point. That's what's hidden within those events. Because this is how the kingdom of darkness works undercover, in order to hide in plain sight what they're doing, in order to try to commit events first to align the doors to open for the other events they want to commit, right? So that's just one example. I did one too recently with Marco Rubio. Something that hasn't happened yet, actually. Oh, do I have it here? Let me see if I have it here for you to show you, because it's worth showing you. Let's see. Is this the, I wonder if I kept it. I don't think I kept it, but I did a short about it. And so basically, if you, the hunting stand that was found with the sight line to Palm Beach Airport, Air Force One, the hunting stand that was found October 16th, right? The Secret Service found it. If you get hunting stand, Secret Service, Palm Beach Airport, right? Air Force One, 10/16/2025. Those are the four points of the story. Hidden within that is Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Eric Trump, 911. Hidden within that event is that. Because that's who they're going to go after. And so if we get wise to this and we begin to understand that the kingdom of darkness really covers what it's going to do, and it hides it in a bunch of noise, so we can't see it until it's too late, we as the body of Christ can actually get ahead of the event or the timeline, and in the name of Jesus Christ, disrupt it and dismantle it, and destroy the event before it happens, right? We can intercede and pray and do that. So these are things we have to keep a watch on, because it's not, I'll show you something else too. Gavin Newsom called President Trump an invasive species. Now that's a very odd sentence to say. He couldn't even look at the camera when he said it. I'm going to show you why he said it. He said invasive species, Donald Trump, which is a very odd thing to call a person. Normally you call that to an animal that you want to destroy. So you see where the language is going here with with how they're driving the narrative. You know what's hidden within invasive species? A message for the White House. Spies in the camp. CIA. That's why I have all these letters underlined, because hidden within this is this. You see, they're doing this purposely. They're doing it purposely. And we have to get wise to it and understand it. Because you can't fight an enemy you don't know. You can't war against an enemy you don't know. You can't even see an enemy coming that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a lion 25 yards from you, because the enemy roams about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you had a physical lion 25 yards from you, would you turn your back on that lion? Would you turn your back for a second on that lion? No. Would you start screaming and sounding the alarm and telling your family to get inside and getting a weapon and doing whatever you can and get into a defensive position? Yes. The church has to do that when it comes to the enemy. If you wouldn't turn your back on a physical lion, you should not be turning your back on an enemy that is looking to devour you and just say, no, I just want to think about what's positive and I don't want to know any of this. Ignorance is his zip code. It's where he thrives. If he can keep you ignorant, he can thrive in your life. And we have to come out of that age of ignorance. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As the church, when it comes to the enemy's devices, we can't be ignorant of his devices.
Then we can use our authority in Christ to pray these things out, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And he does this because it hides it kind of in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how the kingdom of darkness works. And we have to uncover it because we're salt and light exposes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 We always like to lift you up and anything personal. And I know there's going to be some prayer warriors backstage that'd like to lift you up. Anything personal come to mind?
For Chris, I spoke to his neurologist today.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chris needs prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need prayer for that. You know, just that we can continue to carry everything well, you know, and run the race well in excellence for the Lord and be able to carry the weight of it and still stay joyful and focused and, mm-hmm. and doing what the Lord, you know, needs us to do.
Yes.
So
I love
that. And needs me to do right now.
I love that. I love that. So we got several prayer warriors that love to pray each time. So we'll start with Elizabeth and then Linda. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Oh, Creator God, I just thank you for this beautiful lady. And I thank you for Chris and all the members of Ark of Grace, all the helpers, all the animals. Father, I thank you for this move that they're doing. I thank you that they're expanding the territory. And you will bless the move. You will bless everything about it. And you will bring more light and love to people around. More people will come. Mm-hmm. I thank you for precious Chris, who I met last year. And it was such a blessing to meet these beautiful people. And I just thank you that your hand is upon him. Your hand is upon his heart, his head. Every part of his body. And I thank you for cleansing and healing. I thank you for whatever is not possible with man, it is possible with you, Father,
yes.
because you are the great creator.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for a healing anointing going all over, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I pray for the light and love and healing grace of Yeshua HaMashiach, totally encompassing every soul of the body. And I thank you that whatever is put upon him medically, you will say no, that he is healed totally. I thank you for your miracle, Father. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you again for these beautiful people. I thank you for protection. I thank you for Amanda's knowledge wisdom, and her love for you. And the way you interpret things to her is such a blessing for us to receive. And I ask that you speak to still each and every one of us as you do into what to do, what to say, what to pray. And I just thank you for her being on the show. Thank you for all the Blessed to Teach family. I love you dearly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Then we're going to have Linda and then Suri, and then we'll wrap it up. Go ahead, Linda.
Just pray. The first thing I pray for Chris. It says in your word, he is healed already. I also know that he is no longer what Satan's trying to do to him. He's already healed. So I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, sick there, say right past often in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not right touching him. So that, Chris, my brother is already healed. So get the stepping away and get the help. We belong in the fire of blood of Jesus Christ. And give me the strength she needs. I know it's not easy in her position. I'm not being there, but I know how it feels with a loved one. And it's not how it sounds, I know how it feels. Fire, I command you saying, Chris is healed. He's not sick, he's healed already. Because you died on the cross for that long time ago, Father. It is written. By our Christ, he is healed. And by our blood, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And one more with Suri.
Father God, we bring our sister to you and husband, Lord Father God. Father, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, we put the hedge of protection around the ministry that she has. She is wonderful, saying whatever you say to her, Lord Father God. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to grab all the heaviness around her or on shoulder. I see it. Bring it down, and we put it by your cross, Lord Father God, till she doesn't feel that heaviness anymore, Lord Father God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the moving. I don't know where she is moving, but anywhere she is moving, you know where it is, because you give the permission. We put the hedge of protection around that area too. We put the blood of Jesus in that area, Lord Father God. Anywhere she goes with Chris, Lord Father God, please, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, send a cloaking angel to watch Chris. Watch Chris till she can do the ministry she has for you, Lord Father God. Father, bless her abundantly, exceedingly, above of all her imagination, because she has a wonderful spirit, wonderful loving inside of her, I always feel. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I ask more blessing on her. In the name of Jesus, we say yes and amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. I just love that.
By the way, I'm from Iran.
He's the Lord. I love the Iranian people.
Ex-Muslim is like,
they're wonderful people.
Yeah. They have some goofy like me too.
But for the most part who I've met, they're very kind people.
No, they are. Yeah. They are. But they are getting punished from the Lord.
Yeah, they are.
This is because of all this stuff they did.
Yeah.
So God bless you, sister.
God bless you.
All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much. I just wanted to give you a last word. Anything else you wanted to kind of end with?
Well, I'll end with a scripture, and I'll quote from the book of Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles and schemings of the devil.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you so much again. And it's beautiful to see. I know we cannot wait to see Chris speaking in perfect English and powerfully and completely healed. So whatever's happening, we say that. And we agree with all my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. With everybody unmuting and saying thank you to Amanda Grace.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
We love you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda. Shalom, bye. Shalom.
Shalom. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Stay strong, Amanda. You can do